You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. If you just joined us, you tuned in to a particularly good show. Stony Brook University is here, one of the largest employers on Long Island. We have the Assistant Director of Human Resource Services, Jen Rossler. No, sorry, Steve Riccobono. And then we also have Jen Rossler. And we have the power to do that here on radio. And then we also have Jen Rossler, the Manager of Recruitment and Training and Development. And you guys, I'm going to just give you a couple of minutes to debunk the myth about having to know somebody to get a job at Stony Brook, and to talk about the new process that's in place, the new systems, and what people should be doing.
Okay, well, we were talking about this off the air, but one of the myths that we hear often from candidates is you have to know somebody at Stony Brook University to get a job there, because they've applied hundreds of times, 10 times, 15 times, never heard back. And one of the things that we, when we work with that person, is going through, well, what did you apply to? And as it turns out, they weren't qualified for the position that they had applied to or any of the positions that they had applied to, but they were just throwing in the resumes trying to get an answer. Mm-hmm. And with our new talent management system, you get an auto reply that you've applied and your position's been accepted, mm-hmm. and it takes your application once, and you're in the queue to be reviewed. But the key to applying successfully to Stony Brook is to look at the required qualifications and make sure you've got them. Because if you don't, then you won't be considered for the position, because that's how we do all of our sourcing, is looking at the required qualifications first. Mm-hmm. Then we go on to what preferreds are. And then if you've got some of the preferreds, you sort of move up in the rank of the candidate list. That's how we tend to build it up there. So that's where some of that myth comes from, I've applied so many times and no one has call me back, or no one had, I've never gotten a job. I've never, I've applied 10, 15 times. And when you go through that, and we tell them, there's things that you're missing. That's why you didn't even get an interview for that.
Steve, I would just add to that, and I think Douglas can appreciate this. It's not enough that you know that you have those skills, that you meet those qualifications. We have to be able to identify that mm-hmm. on your resume. And so I think that's a lot of the times where we see a disconnect when we're working with applicants, when they tell me, but I met the qualifications, and I say, okay, great, let's look at your resume. And then I say, okay, so where is this? Well, I did that over here. Uh-huh. I can't identify that.
Right.
And so that's the biggest piece, I think, and maybe you see that, Douglas, in working with the applicants, that you know it in your head, you know what you've done, and also to be able to take transferable skills. Maybe you didn't do that exact thing, mm-hmm. but you know you did something similar that gives you a transferable skill set. You need to identify that.
All right, before we, I'll let Doug comment, but I also want Bob Simmons on this. Bob, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Doug, take it away.
Yeah, essentially, to comment on Jen's point, what we try and focus on, and Bob probably goes through this too in his capacity, is resume development. It's taking those attributes, taking those core skills, taking those benefit statements, and trying to do your pre-briefing and interview candidates to make sure that they can understand it's not just your chronology of things that you've done and of your objectives in the past, mm-hmm. but also how do you develop over time those specific benefit statements and things that will identify with a recruiter or a hiring manager. So Bob, is there anything on that you'd like to see, or something that you agree with there?
Yes, I do. The key thing is making sure you have the right buzz and keywords on the resume that the company requires or the organization requires.
Well, what's interesting is a lot of times we talk about technique here, and I did start the show by saying it's the best job hunter that gets the job. But the fact is, you have to have the goods. I mean,
yes.
If you don't have the goods, look,
I'm
in the staffing business. So we post on CareerBuilder and we post on Indeed. And when we post, I'll get, let's say I have a job open for a biotechnologist, and I'll get a resume from a waitress in San Antonio, Texas. Now, okay, it's one thing that she's a waitress, so she's really not qualified. But make the bridge for me. Why are you applying to a job in New York if you live in San Antonio? Shouldn't they say something, Bob and Doug? Shouldn't they say something in the cover letter? I have family in the area. I'm very anxious to relocate to that particular part of the country. But when I get a candidate that's coming from another part of the country, I want an explanation.
Absolutely. I think the mistake these people make is they don't realize it. And it could be just a shotgun effect. They're going to send out X amount of resumes, whether they're qualified or not. And we all know that's not a way to get a job today.
Mm. All right, now we don't want to run out of time. So let's go back to Stony Brook for a minute. And if you could give us the next job, Jen, what are we looking for?
Sure. So as the listeners may or may not be aware of, we actually also have a child care center on the campus of Stony Brook. And so we are currently, the child care center is currently looking for a teacher for the infant toddler area. It's a dynamic early education environment. It is accredited by the National Association for the Education of Young Children. And this teacher will be a part of an essential team made up of the child's family and as well as the teaching team. They'll be working in a classroom full of full-time teachers, five in each infant toddler classroom. They'll be collaborating on planning curriculum, designing and adapting the environment, observations and assessment, parent conferences, and meeting accreditation standards and best practices. I think this is a really great opportunity, especially in regard to the current environment for teachers on Long Island. So we're hoping that maybe somebody out there is
I'm sure somebody is. Okay, and then is that next one still open, the clinical office manager?
Yes. The Stony Brook Children's Hospital is actually expanding and will be over the next couple of years. We're currently looking for three clinical office managers for the pediatric ambulatory sites. We have three currently in East Setauket, East Mauritius, and Patchogue. And that position, the clinical office manager, is responsible for the overall clinical coordination and operation of the pediatric ambulatory site, including managing the clerical and support staff, as well as facilitating the patient workflow.
Mm. You know, when they talk about these jobs, they always sound so good, but they're hard. They're hard jobs.
Yes.
They seem easy, but they're hard. Okay, how about a surgical coder? We still have that open, or is that closed?
Absolutely. No, we're always looking for coders. So for the surgical coding unit, they're responsible for coding the surgeries performed by the faculty practice plan surgeons, and that includes multiple specialties for Stony Brook University Hospital. And as you may know, the Stony Brook University Hospital is a level one trauma center and performs many complex procedures. So we currently have a surgical coder up on our website, and that is something that we recruit for on a pretty regular basis.
Okay, we might as well finish this up. So we got the box office manager, that's still open?
Yes.
And that's at the Stoller Center.
Yes, that's a very exciting, another exciting opportunity. I'm the recruitment manager. Everything's exciting
right,
to me, right?
Right.
The box office manager for the Stoller Center. It's an exciting opportunity to be part of a passionate team committed to the arts. The Stoller Center is home of the Stony Brook Film Festival and has an opening for the box office manager, and we're looking for a candidate who's a team player and leader that will work closely with the staff to manage the box office from a financial, customer service, and sales perspective.
Okay, I see one more on my list. Is that still open, the remote support technician?
Yes.
Just tell us what we need there.
So currently we are looking for a remote support technician to support the information technology needs for the Stony Brook Athletics Department. So this person will be responsible for supporting not only the information technology needs, but also interacting and assisting end users, as well as acting as a liaison with the vendors.
Okay. Do we have them all now, Jen?
Yes.
Okay. Now, one more time, SBU jobs can be found at www.stonybrook.edu/jobs.
Yes.
All you have to do is go to that page. You're going to go into a beautiful, gorgeous, brand new applicant tracking system.
Yes.
Installed personally by Steve Riccobono. And it's going to lead directly to Jen's desk and then on to the hiring managers. And hopefully everybody gets hired. And you guys have a lot of jobs. How many jobs do you have over there right now? Anybody know? I mean, is it hundreds or 100 or 50? Or does anybody have any idea?
Posted open for the campus. I would say upwards for the campus and the hospital, probably a good 60.
Yeah. I mean, so people
positions.
Want to know, where are the jobs? Well, the jobs today, they're at Stony Brook University.
Yes.
Yeah. So
they're constantly
there.
Evolving. They're constantly being posted.
Right.
Our old system used to post jobs on a Sunday afternoon because it's a little antiquated. As soon as a recruiter's done getting all their stuff ready for the requisition, it's up live. So jobs are constantly being added.
Okay, we have until 3 o'clock now. And we've got Bob Simmons on the phone. We've got Douglas Ward, the president of Resume Stream Media. And we've got two experts who actually look at candidates and decide which of these candidates is going to be interviewed. So let's help some people get some jobs. First of all, Steve and Jen, do you guys have any pet peeves, you know, what candidates aren't doing, you know, or like consistently, like over and over again, the same? Because I see like the same mistakes over and over.
For me, it goes back to not identifying how you're qualified for the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's always the biggest thing when I have to go through a resume and search and hunt to try to figure out whether or not you're qualified for the job. And specifically, even with an applicant tracking system, ours in particular, I know there are ones out there that search for keywords. Ours does not. So we're going based on how you've answered your pre-screening questions, and mm-hmm. then we're going back to make sure that you actually have those. Misrepresenting yourself in those screening questions doesn't help anybody.
Right.
It's not going to still get you an interview. It's just going to make you look like you falsified your experience.
I'm gonna throw something out, and I'd like all four of you to comment on this. I have gotten so fed up with candidates replying to classified ads and resumes dropping into black holes and all that other stuff. I tell people, first of all, there's no such thing as one resume. There isn't. You need to taper the resume, not to give yourself a better chance, to make it easier for the reader, so that the
Absolutely.
Reader doesn't have to suffer like Jen was just describing
Yes.
and say, well, wait a minute, what is the connection here? So you need to do that. But you know what I tell people? Look at the posting. Take the bullets off the posting and take your bullets off your resume. Put those bullets on the resume and then address each one in your own way, with your own experience, and customize the response to that bullet. So that bullet said, we want this, and you say, I've got that. So suddenly your resume is being based on the job specifications. Now we're assuming, of course, people have the right experience and so on. Now, is my suggestion too extreme?
I will tell you that is exactly how I got my job at Stony Brook.
Good for you. Good for you. So I got an A. I got an A on the course.
You did. Good job. Yeah, and that's one of our biggest... issues that we have is that, you know, we get a lot of applicants, but they don't seem to be understand we've got to be able to see you've got that experience so that we can, you know, possibly interview you to see if you're right for the job.
We've all got to get past that one resume thinking. There's no Mr. Simmons, is there any such thing as one resume?
There absolutely is not. Different job focuses, different resumes. And what you just said I recommend clients to do constantly is you print out the job description. You then match up your, it could only be a one-time use resume.
Mm-hmm.
Worried about the cover letter, of course, is customized.
Right.
But you're going to also create a customized resume for that specific job opening with, at all possible, accomplishments, not just job duties, matching what they need, but if at all possible, get those achievements and accomplishments on the resume also.
Okay, Doug.
Absolutely, Bob. I appreciate that. And one other extension to that is performance accomplishments. Performance highlights are important, you know, aside from
Very
your summary
important.
Qualifications and building your brand statement. You know, Scott, you made that point earlier about how do we self-brand ourselves? How do we position that benefit statement into those recruiters and saying, I am so-and-so, hear me roar.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you want to have those core skills, performance summaries that are tangible, that can show I closed X amount of pipeline, I helped contribute to process, I saved X amount of dollars. Those things are very important to show tangible quality results of things that you've done in the past.
You know, the saddest thing is when you see the resume for a salesperson, and it's only the fifth largest job market in the world, okay? And there's absolutely no quantification. I sell this, I sell it to these people, and I've been doing it for 6 years. No numbers. Is it 1,000 in sales, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000, 10 million, 100 million? I mean, give me a chance. Make yourself relevant.
Yes.
You know, you've got to quantify.
Yes. Anytime I help out friends, relatives, but they ask me to look at their resumes and I say to them, great, you work there and this is what you do, but what did you do? What your achievements are? You know, how much revenue did you help generate? Did you help save anything? You know, all of that is helpful in your resume. It shows that you're not just, it's not just a job, that you're actually performing well in it, and what did you do to succeed or help the company or to obtain those goals? You know, were you part of any growth strategy? Any of that should be mentioned in the resume, and especially when it comes to, it's right along the lines of the skills that we need in there. You should show just what a great job that you did. Tell the story of how well you did on your resume.
Go back to value statements for a minute. You've been using that expression. What's a value statement?
Well, a value statement, Scott, is essentially, you know, you're talking about your summary qualifications at the top. you target your title, your job title that you're applying for. Mm-hmm. You find the job title on the requisition, you put it on there, like you did with the bullet example you used earlier. Mm-hmm. Your summary qualifications and your brand statement is going to be, what value are you bringing to that particular business? Is it through your experience or is it through your skill set? How do you basically lay that out very simply, not too verbose, making sure that it's concise and it's targeted directly to that job requisition.
All right, so I address this to all of you. How are people supposed to know how to do this if they never learned how to do it?
Well, I can answer that question.
I hope somebody can.
I can. When somebody then describes what they do, and I do this all the time, when somebody describes in their bullets on their resume what they did, I say, okay, what was the end result? What would, you know, in most cases, the people I deal with, it takes a little while to get them in the right frame of mind, but they can. But another thing to get numbers on a resume, and it's the last resort I use, is you can use percentages also. If you can explain to me something, I did something that had a small input improvement on my company or organization, you can use 10-15%. It's approximation. Mm-hmm. But there's another way to get the numbers on. But the way I do, I just simply keep hitting home. End result, resulting in what? What would it lead to? Mm-hmm. Was it an individual effort or was it a team effort? You get credit for both of them. And that's how I actually, I felt like pretty good resumes.
And nowadays, the big word is collaborative. Everybody wants to hire someone that is collaborative and professionally collaborative, and that can, you know, get the buy-in of all the team members and all the management team and so on. So do you find that too, Bobby, that people are really looking for collaborative candidates now?
Absolutely. We use a term now that's been coming up lately is the ROI, return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
People that looks for a job today, they got to look at, and that's why it's so important to put the accomplishments, achievements on the resume.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get a return for investment, in hiring you. And I think that's a critical factor when you're looking for a job today.
All right, I'm going to let all four of you give me an example of a good accomplishment and one that really maybe doesn't even belong on the resume. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I think the first accomplishment, Scott, would be, again, something tangible, something that shows what value did you bring, what it was a result, something, you know, that Bob mentioned earlier, something that's going to be innocuous or vague. It might be a good performance thing, but it doesn't really resonate in terms of how much value you actually brought. If it's something that's quantifiable and tangible, that's the thing you're really looking for.
By the way, if your veterans are listening out there, we're doing this for you guys. We want you to know the nuances and make you better job hunters because it's the best job hunter that's getting the job. Do you have something you want to add, Jen?
Yes. Going to expand on your point, I think it's also important for it to be relevant to the job. Because sometimes I read and I'm like, oh, that's really nice that you did that. It has nothing to do with this job, so it doesn't really mean anything to me recruiting for this particular position.
So far we've got it down, in quotes, relevant accomplishments.
Yes, definitely. Right.
Relevant accomplishments.
And I think it helps, as a good example, if you're applying to a procurement job and you say, I helped the company save money. That doesn't help determine how you save money. We saved over $2.5 million over the course of 2 years by changing suppliers and, combining our efforts to learn how much we purchased. And things like that tell the story of, wow, this person really helped the company along,
mm-hmm.
and they're successful at it because $2.5 million is a lot of money, and that's an achievement instead of I save the company a lot of money.
Right.
And often when I see that, it's a disappointment because – you want to ask them, well, what? But I'm looking at a resume or a screen, and it doesn't answer back.
But Steve? It's almost worse when they do that, because then why aren't they quantifying it? So you have to ask yourself, where's the quantification? So they just said they saved the company money. Well, why aren't they telling me how much? They saved the company $1.12. You can't buy a pack of gum with that. You need to have relevant, robust accomplishments. One more time, if you would, Jen, give people how they can apply for these great. Just give me the job titles one more time. Just the job titles and the webpage.
Okay, so you would go to www.stonybrook.edu/jobs, and there you can find the opportunities we spoke about today. The Assistant Dean for Advancement for the College of Engineering and Applied Sciences. We also spoke about the teacher for the infant toddler room for our child care services center. We spoke about three clinical office manager positions in our pediatric ambulatory sites for Stony Brook Children's Hospital. We also spoke about the surgical coders. And we also spoke about the box office manager for the Stoller Center, and last but not least, the remote support tech.
Okay. One more comment from each of you toward veterans. If you're a veteran, Jen, what do you have to say to veterans?
Please come to stonybrook.edu/jobs and apply for our jobs.
Okay. Steve?
Yep. Yeah, we'd love to have you on board at the university. It's important that you look at those required and preferred qualifications and see if they match, then, you know, send it on in. We look forward to that.
All right, unfortunately, we're out of time. Bob, you got something? You can give me 10 seconds, Bob?
So I can. I would just go back on that. The North Shore LIJ Health Systems, August 26th, Barry's Barracks to Business Workshop. I would definitely attend that. I'm going to be there, and you come, I'll be more than happy to critique your resume for you, too.
Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you so much, Bob. What was the date on that again?
August 26th, New York State Department of Labor in Patchogue.
All right, a great way to close the show. Also, Doug, if people want to reach you to use your services, give us something.
ResumeStream.net, and we've worked with veterans in the past, so happy to help the community.
Okay. We're here with you every week from Saturdays from 2 to 3 to help you get a job and to bring you jobs. We'll see you next week. Happy hunting. Other times, forgotten space.